Service is one of the core values in American society. The Peace Corps, Teach for America, and AmeriCorps, VISTA, are examples that indicate the importance of service. In Maryland, students are required to perform 75 hours of student service learning before they can be eligible to graduate from high school. Everyone can provide service to others because the methods of service are endless. The motivation to provide service comes from many sources. Some people serve because of their religious beliefs. Others are motivated by the benefits of service. As Mahatma Gandhi said, the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Let us look at the variety of services that people in this room have performed and continue to perform. Let us then ruminate about our motivation for performing this service. Even entertainers recognize the value of service. As Aretha Franklin stated, being the queen is not all about singing. And being a diva is not all about singing. It has much to do with your service to people and your social contributions to your community and your civic contributions as well. We are fortunate to have many public servants in our midst. Public servants are rarely get the recognition that they deserve. If you work for the federal government or are retired from there, stand up. Come on, stand up. Let's give them a round of applause. If you work or are retired from the state of Maryland, let's stand up and give them a round of applause. If you are a service provider in the field of blindness, stand up. Let's give them a round of applause. As Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was a public servant for a time, believe it or not, explained, help others and give something back. I guarantee you will discover that while public service improves the lives of the world around you, its greatest reward is the enrichment and new meaning it will bring to your own life. My favorite definition of service comes from Marion Wright Edelman, founder of the Children's Defense Fund. Here's what she said. Service is the rent we pay for living. It is the very purpose of life and not something you do in your spare time. The National Federation of the Blind has many characteristics. Because of the Federation, we know that blindness is not the characteristic that defines you or your future. Every day, we raise expectations of blind people because low expectations create obstacles between blind people and our dreams. You can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back. Blindness should not keep us from serving others. Although many people in society shun our offers of service, we must persevere. In his 2005 banquet address, entitled The Edge of Tomorrow, Mark Maurer summarized the purpose of the Federation as, quote, the reshaping of the patterns of thought of our society to recognize the ability within us to value the talent we possess and to welcome our contributions that we have to make. The National Federation of the Blind is really a vehicle for service. Because of our federation experience, many members find confidence and perform service both inside and outside the federation. In Maryland, during the past year, we have demonstrated that service to others is a core value of the federation. our organization thrives because of the effective leadership. Effective leadership is crucial because if the Federation fails to achieve its goals, the lives of blind persons will be diminished. Let us extend a special thank you to our state officers and board of directors for their dedication and support of our movement. Let's give them a round of applause. As a grassroots organization, our local chapters and divisions play an essential role in building our membership and in educating the public about the truth of blindness. So, stand up if you're a president of a chapter or division. Let's give them a round of applause. All you have to do is look around at the list of Meet the Blind Month activities on our website, www.nfbmd.org, to see that we have vibrant chapters. For instance, between September 30 and November 10, 2017, we held 7 screenings of the movie Do You Dream in Color. Some of the places that held screenings were McDaniel College, Towson University, and the University of Maryland at College Park, and the Peale Center in Baltimore. Think of the number of people who now hold a different view of blindness. More screenings are planned for the coming months. The division meetings held at this convention also demonstrate the level of service that we are providing to each other about how to live the lives we want as blind people. Let us extend a special word of welcome to our newest division, the Maryland Association of Blind Merchants. We look forward to working together to strengthen the business enterprise program in Maryland and to increase opportunities for all blind entrepreneurs statewide. This convention is a great example of service. We have parents who welcome new families into our movement. We have marshals who direct us to locations for all convention activities. And as I mentioned earlier, we certainly appreciate the service of Ronza Othman and her contributions to keeping everything running smoothly. I want Holly Mooney and Rebecca Mooney to stand up. You are going to get something, so you better stand up. They are taking convention pictures, and let's give Will Schwatka, our sound man, who's recording convention general sessions. Let's give a shout out to all our friends who are listening to this convention on the internet. One of them is Gary Allen from Connecticut. Rachel Olivero, who makes this possible, deserves a round of applause. Rachel does a great deal behind the scenes work for the affiliate, from creating our registration system to training folks in Drupal so that we can maintain our website. Rachel, we appreciate you. Our new web committee is definitely increasing our presence on the web. This helps the people who need us find us. So, I want you to stand. We are giving out Braille magnets because these are the folks that stick with the Federation. So, Steve Brand, Ellen Ringline, Beth Fogelhatch, Graham Mell, Lloyd Rasmussen, and Scott White, thank you for your service. Stand up till you get your magnet. We also want to thank Karen Anderson for leading the effort to keep us active on social media. Karen, you get a magnet too. Now, if you get a magnet once, you can stand up, but you're not going to get another one because we're not going to run out. Because of the service that we provide to strengthen our organization, we are able to serve the blind community as a whole. It is most appropriate that we have three pages of pictures in our agenda from our 2017 NFB Braille Enrichment Literacy and Learning, NFB Bell Academy. We devote a great deal of energy, money, time, and love to our three Bell Academy programs in Baltimore, Glendale, and Salisbury. We teach the alternative techniques of blindness, raise expectations, and serve as role models for these children. We are proud of our NFB Bell Academy service. So, all the volunteers, we don't have enough magnets, but please stand because I do want to recognize you. All the Bell volunteers. Now, it is only right for us to have a song in honor of NFB Bell. Where is it in the agenda? Braille is beautiful. We ready? What page? Oh.
Na, 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 na.
24.
Na, 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 na. Na, na, na.
Jose Antonio Bowen, the president of Goucher College, has written a book called Teaching Naked, in which he outlines his philosophy on education. Bowen has created a new program at Goucher called the Three R's of Education. These are relationships, resilience, and reflection. He believes that these three R's are not only the best predictors of success in college, but also are predictors of success in life. In the National Federation of the Blind, we practice the three R's. We know how to build relationships. Our resilience is demonstrated by our staying power. Reflection is an ongoing process for us. Blind people benefit when we build constructive relationships with service providers in our state. On August 10, we welcomed most of the staff of the Office on Blindness and Vision Services in the Division of Rehabilitation Services to the Jernigan Institute. We shared our goals and philosophies and talked about how we could better work together to serve the blind community. We must have a service delivery system that is more responsive to consumer needs. While we appreciate the need for rules and regulations, these should be applied with common sense. If a client's case has been closed after services were delivered, and if that client then needs additional services after additional vision loss, why should that client have to establish eligibility again? If the individual was blind the first time, the chances are very high that the person is still blind. Who is really going to go back to doors if their sight was restored? We want the director of doors to run the programs, not the auditors. Auditors certainly have a role, but they should not prevent older blind people from attending the diabetes education management classes that are conducted at the Workforce Technology Center, because the Independent Living Older Blind program has no money. If the classes are there anyway, all the clients who need them should be able to attend them. We look forward to more opportunities for dialogue and for building a stronger relationship. Let's give a round of applause, and we thank all the DOOR staff for being at this convention. Last year at our convention, I told you about Max Elia, who was dismissed from a daycare center after a half a day because the supervisors believed that they could not provide him with a safe environment since he used a white cane. There was no process in Maryland to settle disputes between parents and daycare providers. We joined with the Developmental Disabilities Council and the Disability Rights Maryland to convince the Maryland General Assembly to protect parents and children from such discrimination. Our advocacy work led to the enactment of HB 456 in 2017. This legislation instructed the Maryland State Department of Education, MSDE, to develop a dispute resolution process that must include a process for investigating complaints, a written record on the findings of an investigation, and if there is a finding of discrimination on the basis of disability, a resolution of the complaint that includes an agreement with the child care provider detailing the requirements of remedying the violations and appropriate remedies that support children with disabilities, their families, and the child care provider. By October 2017, MSDE was to submit a report to the Maryland General Assembly, which includes the dispute resolution process, and draft legislation or regulations to implement this dispute resolution process. Our relationship with other partners and the Maryland General Assembly is definitely protecting the rights of all parents with disabilities and their children to have access to daycare. Building relationships does not mean shying away from doing what needs to be done. That is why we passed Resolution 2017-01 this morning. We will not allow the Maryland State Board of Elections to take away our right to a secret ballot. Here are some other examples of our advocacy. More students, especially those with some vision, will have orientation and mobility training for the first time when HB 535 is fully implemented. This law presumes that all blind or visually impaired students need mobility. If the IEP disagrees, they must back their decision up with appropriate assessments and documentation. The MSDE was to develop the necessary regulations and technical assistance by March 2017. Although MSDE made progress with these regulations, the job is not completed. You can be sure that we will continue to remind these officials that they cannot keep blind children waiting. Students need orientation and mobility training now. For the past several years, MSDE has been in turmoil with personnel switching jobs or leaving the agency altogether. In 2014, to comply with the Braille standards legislation, MSDE issued regulations that revamped certification and recertification requirements for vision teachers. Vision teachers must take a Braille competency test by the time they are eligible for the renewal of their first five-year credential. We recently learned that the department never decided which Braille competency test teachers should take. Consequently, MSDE has been ignoring their own requirements for the past 3 years. We have already had two meetings this fall to remedy this problem, and you can be sure that we will continue to advocate with personnel at MSDE until vision teachers in the state are competent in reading and writing Braille. The Braille in the 21st Century Literacy Conference, jointly sponsored by the National Federation of the Blind and the Maryland School for the Blind, that was held on October 19 and 20, is a good example of both building relationships and resilience. Before I discuss the conference, I want to recognize our staff at the National Center for the Blind. We could never have hosted this conference for vision teachers and blindness professionals without the help of this dedicated staff. I want to take this opportunity to recognize a couple of unsung heroes, so if you would stand up and get your little magnet. Patricia Miller has been with the NFB for 31 years. Joe Miller for 30 years. And Marcia Dyer for 27 years. We decided to have the Braille Literacy Conference to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Maryland Literacy Rights and Education Act, better known as the Braille Bill. At the conference, we recognized Delegate Sheila Hickson, who proposed this bill in the House in 1992. We also recognized Senator Joan Carter Conway, Chairman of the Senate Education, Health, and Environmental Affairs Committee, for her leadership in sponsoring all of our bills about Braille and accessibility since she joined the Maryland Senate in 1997. It is most appropriate that we have a picture of these education champions in our agenda. We will need to demonstrate more resilience to achieve literacy for all blind and visually impaired children. However, this conference was a step in the right direction. For instance, the presentation on how to assess which students should learn Braille, who should learn print, and who should learn to read both print and Braille, by Conchita Hernandez from NFB and Michelle Horseman from MSB, provoked meaningful dialogue. They discussed how a learning media assessment and the National Reading Media Assessment complement each other. Because of this discussion, there is a better chance that vision teachers in Maryland may really assess a student's future literacy needs as the Braille Bill specifies. Another highlight of the conference was the presentation by Eric Guillory and Jackie Anderson on achieving the integration of both print and Braille into a student's life. Jackie and Eric related how they use both print and Braille. Jackie Anderson encourages her students, and here's what she said, and I want you to think about this. This is a great quote, and let's try to remember it. You don't know what you can't see because you can't see what you don't see. So you must explore so that you can see. For decades, we have been resilient in promoting better library services in Maryland. Our latest venture was to join with the library community to urge the Maryland General Assembly and Governor Hogan to move library services out of MSDE and to create a new service delivery structure, the Maryland State Library Agency. Now that we have accomplished this goal and helped to garner a funding formula and adequate staff for the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, it is time for LBPH to increase its role in eliminating the book famine experiences of the blind in Maryland. Many thanks to everyone for our service in Annapolis this year. Visiting legislatures in their offices, sending letters, making phone calls, and sitting through long committee hearings makes our success possible. I want to especially give Clarence Hennigan a round of applause. Clarence, you got to stand up. Get your magnet. You know, I called Clarence a couple of hours before our library bill hearing to tell him that someone canceled and I needed him to testify. He was nervous, but he agreed to do it. He spoke from the heart about the importance of library services to the blind and the need for change. This was the first time Clarence ever testified in his life. He understood the value of service to his fellow blind. I was recently appointed to Governor Hogan's, by Governor Hogan to serve on the Maryland State Library Board. Many Federationists serve on boards, commissions, and advisory committees concerning transportation, rehabilitation, and other disability issues. Sitting on these bodies can be torturous, but this donkey work is important because it can keep bad things from happening. And sometimes we can even do some good. The performance of service can be inconvenient. When the call came on short notice to run down to Washington, D.C., to tell the Asian American Hotel Owners Association to quit telling Congress to reform the ADA as proposed in H.R. 620, many Federationists answered the call. So, I want all these people whose names I'm going to call to stand up and get your magnet. Karen Anderson, Sarah Babler, Getachew Tamari, Millie Rodriguez, Barry Hond, Alana Crew, Antonio Mendoza, Miranda Williams, Steve Booth, Eric Duffy, and Ellen Ringline. Stay up there till you get your magnet. Sometimes the performance of service requires courage. As a state employee, Judy Rasmussen displayed courage by testifying before the House and Senate committees of the General Assembly about how state government officials prevent blind employees from doing their jobs because of the lack of non-visual access to technology tools. For instance, all the Maryland state employees are required to use an email encryption tool made by Virtue of Washington, D.C. to encrypt email messages. Since emails were encrypted by Virtue, and since Virtue was inaccessible to blind people, blind counselors at doors and their clients could not read any of the emails they received. Although Virtue has made improvements to the accessibility of its encryption tool, this inaccessible product should never have been purchased for statewide use. The state of Maryland needs to enforce its accessibility laws vigorously. There should be consequences for state officials and for vendors who violate these laws. In the agenda, I have reprinted Governor Hogan's Executive Order 0101.2017.23, entitled Maryland Disability Employment Awareness Month. Promotion of the employment of people with disabilities by the chief executive of our state is definitely significant. There are five directives in this executive order to promote both employment and the capabilities of persons with disabilities. I want to highlight what I believe is the most significant directive of this executive order for blind persons. It is number 4, to promote individuals with disabilities access to technology. The Department of Disabilities shall A, hold special events, including those advancing assistive technology that expand employment in community integrated settings, and B, recommend the designation of a state agency, entity, or staff person to 1, provide accessibility technical assistance during the state procurement process, and 2, address any accessibility concerns of state employees. We commend Governor Hogan and the Maryland Department of Disabilities for this progressive action. Do we have the resilience to put an end to lip service on accessibility by the state of Maryland? You bet we do. Access to government is not the only type of access that we seek. We conducted a national campaign to determine whether Cartronix really made their ATMs accessible as they promised they would in the settlement of our lawsuit. We extend a big thank you to the 11 individuals who tested 25 machines in Maryland. So I want them to stand up and get a magnet. Karen Anderson, Aloma Bama, Tyrone Bratcher, Cheryl Fogle Hatch, Heather Guy, Terry Hall, Bernadette Jacobs, Melissa Lomax, Graham Mell, Ariel Silverman, Henley Williams. Give them a round of applause. Because we are raising expectations, blind people will no longer tolerate discrimination. In August 2017, when Cindy Morales made a purchase at Walmart, the shopping assistant took her to a checkout station. Since this register was inaccessible, the assistant had to complete this transaction for Cindy. The assistant clicked on cash back and pocketed $40 of Cindy's change. Cindy did get her $40 back because she had the gumption to call the police and she refused to leave the store without her money. Walmart must learn that they are required to treat blind customers with dignity and respect. In the Federation, we are very fortunate to have many opportunities for reflection. We share our reflections through our speeches at state and national conventions. In his 2017 banquet speech entitled Innovation, Blindness, and the Emerging Powers of Thought, President Riccobono urged us to take action. He states, "In the past, we have taught each other how to effectively compete as blind people using a variety of tools and techniques. We must continue to teach each other, but we should explore the effectiveness of new technologies to perform some of those same tasks. We intend to do this exploration in Maryland. Maryland does not have a statewide service support provider known as SSP program for deafblind people. Up to now, an SSP has been a person physically located with the deafblind person to provide situational awareness so that the deafblind individual may participate in all aspects of community life. We want to explore whether the IRA technology would be a better way to provide this service. We must convince state officials of the need for an SSP program and determine the advantages of using technology to deliver these services. As we celebrate our service to the Federation and to each other, let us be mindful of the founding principles of the National Federation of the Blind. We think for ourselves, we speak for ourselves, and we act for ourselves to create understanding through our authentic experience. Individually, we seek to live our lives fully, and collectively, we mobilize the machinery to transform our dreams into reality. As we continue our quest to improve education, rehabilitation, library services, and accessibility, while tearing down the barriers of discrimination, we must continue to serve each other and the Federation. We must continue to reflect on our actions, build our relationships, and maintain resilience. I know that we have the love, hope, and determination to reach our goals. We can live the lives we want, so let's sing our song. What page? You ready? Where's our music? There we go. Page 5.
Nobody can stop you. Shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yes, we know the truth. Grab a cane, get trained. Gotta get moving. Make a change and a wage. That's what we're doing. Come with me, yeah. And live the life you want. Nobody can stop you. Shoot for the sun and break on through. So you're blind, you'll be fine. We got good news. You can live the life you want. Yeah.
yes, we know the truth. You and me and a bee, let's dream together. And a bee, you and me, lives on forever.
My report, fellow Federationists, thank you.